Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this very special episode of Der Daily Zeitgeist! Still a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, especially in today's episode, and fuck Fox News. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jacko on his back-o, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I didn't know you were going to do AKAs.
My wallet.
I'm Miles.
Hey.
AKA Gray. That's it, and that's lazy, and we'll move right on to who else.
We're thrilled to be joined by, as always, actually, by our super producer, Anna Hosniak. But she's on mic today!
On mic.
Hello!
From the start. From Jump Street. Guys, today, we are kicking off our Decade in Review series with a review of the years 2010 and 2011.
This is wild to be at the end of a decade and actually look
looking
back.
Looking back on all we've accomplished, all we've built,
because this
standing
is
on the precipice.
2010, Mike, I'm 26 in 2010.
Wow.
This is like when you really look at all of this, I'm like, I have fully formed memories, opinions, and attitudes on all of this stuff. This is actually a very big year for me in 2010. It was my last year working in politics.
Okay.
Oh. And was the year that I had decided to completely start over, move in with my mother, and try and do something with comedy. So it's weird to think, like, sort of back at some of these stories. Some of them overlap with my past life.
Yeah. This was when I was living in New York for 1 year with my lovely wife.
Mm.
And we released a book through Cracked. We released a bunch of, I think, After Hours launched then, or was just launching then. A lot of good times.
Released a book? What was it called?
You Might Be a Zombie.
Oh, right.
Yeah, New York Times bestseller.
Wow. No, but it didn't have that cross sign next to it on the bestseller list?
Yeah, because high volume sales. High volume sales with a dagger.
Wait, where were you, Anna?
I was in college.
You were?
Being
what
young,
year?
Yeah,
fresh.
We were looking back at our social media from that time.
I guess maybe, should we start with
with where, with yeah, what
one,
your social media
one
post
Facebook
were?
Facebook update that you had?
Yeah, I can try and find one.
Mine was great. I had a post from beginning of 2010 that said, "Oh, thank God for being back to good standing at UC Davis." That's right. I had a few months where
back
I was
back to good standing at UC Davis.
I was failing out of college.
Yo.
Guys, you know, sometimes drugs take a hold of your mind and you start to fail your classes. But guess what? You can come back from it.
You
like
can
I did.
Come back from yeah. it and become a back. Huge success in the entertainment industry, like super yeah. producer Anna Hosnier.
Yeah. Sure.
Queen of comedy booking, queen of the podcast world.
I have, my one update was this is in November of 2010, right before the elections. And it says, "I've been in Nevada for 5 weeks."
Yo, you.
This was an.
Am I allowed to say that you made one of the Time top 10 stories of every or like top 10 of everything?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Right.
When we get to that section, I will be extra cagey.
Right.
And I won't say anything.
Which is saying something because you're usually super cagey.
I'm Nicolas Cagey.
Nicolas Cagey. Let me see. I barely posted anything back then, but I went to a picture of me and my lovely wife in what's that country?
America.
yeah. America, the United States. We were in Lisbon. Team picture of the cracked team. Okay, one thing I tweeted, or I guess I posted on Facebook back then. Our book made the bestseller list. I realize calling me New York Times bestselling author Jack O'Brien seems like a mouthful, but you'll be able to read it right off my hat and belt buckle. That was something.
Did you have a cracked belt buckle?
I did not. I had a New York Times bestselling author Jack O'Brien belt buckle.
Wait, really?
No.
Oh.
I have another weird status update that just says Tom Morello's mom is DJing on KPFK 90.7. I don't even know what
you
that
had a
means.
Bunch of really funny tweets back
at the
then.
Time.
These are status updates, fam. These are not, I was not on Twitter really like that at this point. This
Got
is
it.
for the gang on FB.
All right, well, let's get into what was happening with the rest of the world.
Yeah,
that we were oblivious to because we were doing our thing. But apparently, in the year 2010, there was an oil spill. Y'all hear about this? You
that
seen
was.
This? BP?
Oh, of was it
the BP
not Event
oil
Horizon?
Spill.
But
yeah,
Deepwater Horizon.
Yes, great
Deep
film.
Deepwater Horizon.
Great film. Oh, it's based on real life.
Yeah. You were just a fan of the movie.
Yeah,
I was.
Wahlberg said if he was there, he would have been able to kill the oil spill.
Oh yeah, right. That's right. I thought he would punch the fire.
Yeah,
out.
He would punch the fire and save everybody.
One of the most remarkable things. So the way I went back through. So we should just say up top, I did 2010, 2011. So I'll be taking you guys through the events of that year based on my cursory Googling. And one of the things that I noticed. So one of the ways that I went through was looking at Times. Review, like year in review from the end of 2010. So like what they thought was notable about the year. And they covered the Tea Party like it was the wave. Like it was cut.
Oh,
like this is
really? That's just the wave.
Yeah. Rise of the Tea Party was their number two top 10 stories of the year. And they were like, you know, back in 2008, we thought it was everything was going left. But now things have changed. The Tea Party, a disparate collection of anti-big government activists and heartland conservatives, they do acknowledge that it has the backing of wealthy patrons like Charles and David Koch.
Ah.
But they don't specify that it was fully astroturfed by them.
It was like a
cynical ploy. The day Obama was being sworn in, the Koch brothers had a meeting of million and billionaires at a like golf course where they were like, how are we going to take this motherfucker down?
Wow.
He's going to be bad for our fortunes. That was not evident to people back in 2010, but there's a great book called Dark Money about like the whole movement. And this was... I mean, it's really a conspiracy. They like had people at these like at these Tea Party rallies, with like signs that were written by the Koch brothers, and like the people with the same wording on the same signs and like the same misspellings would show up in like different cities because
they were downloading a file of information on like weird takes to have fly your Gadsden flags.
Yep.
It's all, man, that was such a, this was so disheartening too. I think this is when we, in the work that I was doing, a lot of it was around Obamacare. And watching this weird ass movement of people dressed up as fucking old timey, you know, Tea Party, what the fuck, the Boston Tea Party,
yeah, the Boston
sort of
Tea
actors
Party
was sort of born out
Glenn
of it.
Glenn Beck dressed in a powder wig,
yeah,
like and just weird 40 to 50 year old like white dudes.
There was something really odd about it because anytime you spoke to somebody who was like a Tea Partier, it was someone who was probably not realizing that they just hated that the president was black.
Right.
And were maybe first seduced by these like big government themes. I think essentially then you wake up and you're like, oh, right, I'm just
him. Racist. Yeah. That's right. And they figured that out by the year 2018, but 2016, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, so their summary of the Tea Party movement ends with the sentence, spurred on by some of the more influential and telegenic personalities in the U.S. like Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck, the Tea Party may be here to stay.
Can I?
It wasn't.
Can I do a little aside?
Yeah.
As a high school project, I went to one of those weird technology high schools where there was no tests. You just did projects. But one of the projects was that you basically put together a campaign and ran for president in your class. On everyone, you built a party. You basically made your own party. Like you assigned people. Like there was this press secretary. There was a person running. The person who was going to be vice president. All that stuff. And me and my group, we called ourselves the Boston Tea Party. And this was in 2008-ish.
Hell yeah, you did.
And so after that, when they came out, we were all like,
motherfucker.
Well, that was more like, we do not want people thinking we are any way involved. But it was like, you know,
I guess
years
we could
later.
Start selling this merch.
Yeah, but it was, I remember I was texting, because it was all my best friends who I'm still friends with now being like, oh,
and to think, I guess the Koch brothers owe you a debt of gratitude.
Yeah, you know what? And here's me sending out my regards to the Koch brothers.
Just to make everything very dated, I'm going to read you the top 10 buzzwords. Let me know if you remember some of these. A vuvuzela.
Yes, was the horn that was being played in the South African
Ban
World Cup.
Ban them. Ban them.
Yeah.
Top kill / junk shot / static kill / top hat.
What is that from?
I
video games?
I don't know what the fuck that is. I think that was video game slang, but I'm guessing
what is
Time
that?
Magazine Top managed skip? To just totally fuck it up.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that is.
Yeah, bed bugs.
Was that like the New York
bed
bug
thing?
Yeah,
that was thing? When
the bed bug was getting cracking.
Mm-hmm. Austerity was a buzzword, apparently.
Well, because we were just throwing money at Wall Street, being like, yes, sorry, you fucked up the economy. Do you want more?
Ayaja Fjallajökull,
the Icelandic volcano.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Butchered it.
Anchor babies was one of the buzzwords. Cool. Mama grizzlies. Release Kraken.
Wait, wasn't Mama Grizzly something Sarah Palin said?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Release the Kraken. Fun times.
What was the Release the Kraken from?
I think it was a movie that came out that year.
Pirates?
It wasn't Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh. It was like Liam Neeson was in it. It was like that weird.
Yeah.
It was like right after Avatar, they made a big deal about the fact that it was 3D, but it was like a half-assed
Clash of the Titans.
Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
Release the Kraken.
Wow.
Yeah.
That guy Ramin Djawadi, the dude who scored Game of Thrones, scored that film too.
Oh, hell yeah. There's all sorts of weird, dated shit that I can't believe happened that year. Like, their comeback of the year was Kanye West for coming back from that Taylor Swift thing.
Oh, wow.
They were like,
wait, but what did he put out?
He dropped My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Oh,
that
was 2010?
Yeah. So that was a big year for Kanye.
Big year.
One of their top 10 lists was Top 10 Facebook Trends. The Facebook movie, 500 million users. We're celebrating that they got to 500 million users. Facebook Places introduced, so now they can track you. But that was like it's just like that. I don't know.
At first,
such
how did
breathless
they,
anticipation for this like hot new trend.
Right.
Like,
but how did they show, what did they present Places as first? Be like, you can check in and you can just
I think
basically
it was that.
Say,
find your nearest friend.
Tag photos at this place.
Celebrity Doppelganger Week. Zuckerberg gives millions to Newark public schools. Like, it's like this might as well be a fucking press release from Facebook. By the way, this was the year that Mark Zuckerberg was Time Person of the Year. Queen joins Facebook. Instant messages revealed.
Wow.
Facebook email and, right here at the end, privacy snafus. Little snafus.
Situation normal. All fucked up.
Yeah, just a little whoopsies. Privacy whoopsies.
Or depending on what branch you're in, you might say some Navy asshole fucked up.
Right. Top political gaffes.
I can't even imagine what we're going to see. Top political gaffes of 2010.
Yeah.
Obama shook the black guy's hand like a black guy.
Right. So actually, I want to read you one of Jay Leno's. So they did top 10 late night jokes, and because it's Time Magazine and they're trying to.
Top 10 late night
jokes. Yeah, they're trying to both sides it. They have a joke from Jay Leno. You know, it's hard to believe President Obama has now been in office for a year, and it's incredible. He took something that was in terrible, terrible shape, and he brought it back from the brink of disaster. The Republican Party.
What?
Like that he organized a Republican Party. Racism.
Oh, so because he's black and is president, the Republicans have woken up?
Yeah, basically.
Ugh, fuck my life.
Jay Leno, man. That guy's chill.
That was really like just looking back at a time when he was a major figure in the media. Like, he seems the most out of place, just like weird, dated. Why the fuck? Like, because this was when his feud with Conan was popping off. So he was still in the news somehow.
What was it? Conan?
Team Coco?
Conan took his slot. And then, but Leno didn't, and then he got it back, right? Because, like, Conan just did it for a little bit and was like, yeah, actually, I'm not feeling this.
No, it was Conan had been promised the Tonight Show, which is, like, the crown jewel of late night. And he, like, that was, like, his dream from the beginning. But he had been promised it, like, in 6 years, Leno would retire in the year 2010. And then
Leno's like, I don't take want
over.
It.
And then he took over. The ratings were, like, not great. Yeah. They were, like, middling because all TV ratings were middling at that time. And they were like, we'd better hire Leno back. So they brought in Leno to do a 10 o'clock, like, Tonight Show ahead of Conan and moved Conan back an hour.
Right.
And it was just, like, a really terrible
He shouldn't
situation.
Have ever took the Tonight Show. I just remember being like, your humor is for that 12:30 late night slot.
Conan.
Yeah, like Conan's humor is not for the old people who are used to seeing Jay Leno.
Right.
And you could tell the writing changed too. They're sort of like, oh, damn.
I was so bummed
hour.
When he like went to TBS and just like basically did another late night show. And now I think he's like with the podcast and like the show evolving. But it just felt like it was like this same format that was kind of inhibiting to him. But like he was so committed to it because he grew up on it.
Right, right.
But he's like so fucking funny that like I feel like that platform only holds him in, and his writing staff is fucking incredible. But yeah, his podcast is good, so check it out. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be back to wrap up 2010 and get into the year 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy, reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
And we're back. Yeah, so some other big things that happened in 2010. Kanye's Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. LeBron James' decision happened. Not a great look for him.
Hey, man, I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
Yeah. Top political gaffes, Sharon Angle's 11th. Are we talking about this, Miles?
I was in Nevada at this time.
Okay, so Sharon Angle was challenging Nevada Senator Harry Reid.
Yeah, the majority leader in the Senate at the time.
And in ads portraying her opponents as soft on the issue, the Republican featured images of dark-skinned men wearing bandanas sneaking across the border to join gangs, which people were like, that's racist. Specifically, Latino groups were, Latinx groups were like, that's racist. And so she tried to defend the ad campaign at a event.
Well, she
that you may or may not have been at.
I don't know if I was there, but it seemed that she had gone to a high school and the students had captured her on camera defending the ad and saying to a room full of Hispanic students, saying, some of you, I don't even know, it's hard for me to even tell race, you know, some of you in here look a little more Asian to me. And that clip was played all over the news and was a huge gaffe that at the time Sharon Angle was riding that Tea Party wave. And, you know, at the Harry Reid was one of the most important people in the Senate at that time.
Yeah.
The threat of her taking that office was very real. And then this moment, this gaffe ended up causing quite a big turnout. Reid was able to, and I don't know that
almost like some media genius helped make it happen.
I don't know anything about that.
Right.
I'm going to be on my Pete Buttigieg and say,
I signed an NDA from that period of my life.
I don't know anything about that.
There was also the Ground Zero Mosque story from 2010. Fuck. I feel like there's just all these things of just like racism that is basically in plain sight, but it's not really being freaked out about in the mainstream media, because the mainstream media is still just, I don't know, too polite or too mainstream to really like call it what it is or be worried about it. Or they're just like, well, we elected Obama, so racism can't be a problem. And there's like all these things that are just growing and growing and
moral
into
licensing.
What they would be in 2016, which would fuck the country.
Who'd have thought?
But more importantly, we got the Razor Soul Skate, those shoes kids have been gliding around on for the past 10 years.
Oh, the Heelys?
Yeah, the Heelys.
That was 2010?
Yeah.
Wow.
What a year to be alive.
I remember when kids used to do old-fashioned walking. Before all that fancy walking. Just like also they put in here the Nike Right the Future commercial. Was one of the top 10 commercials. It was in preparation for the World Cup. It's directed by Iñárritu. People don't realize.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Emil Lubezki, or what, his DP, is the dude who shot that commercial. Like, that commercial has a lit-ass crew. Chivo? Emmanuel Lubezki.
Chivo.
Yeah. Is the dude who is the DP on it.
Wow.
Anyway, so.
The top 10 viral videos. These actually are as iconic as the movies. And we'll close out with the movies that came out that year. But Double Rainbow.
Double Rainbow guy. Okay, yeah.
Okay, Go, This Too Shall Pass. I don't actually remember that. Insane Clown Posse, Miracles.
Oh, yeah. Magnets. How did that work?
Was
yeah.
the This Too Shall Pass from OK Go that like...
The Rube Goldberg machine?
I think it was.
The one where they're on the treadmills?
No, it's the Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah, that was their first one.
And then it ended up with like a marching band and shit at the end. It starts off super involved.
One of my favorite viral videos of all time is the Trololo guy.
Oh, yeah, Trololo man. That was 2010?
Yeah, that was 2010.
I thought that shit was older. Damn.
Well, no, I mean, the video is
No, but I mean, like, in my mind, I feel if it's even earlier in the, like, pre-YouTube.
Yeah, it's like... If people aren't familiar with it, it's like a video from the archive of state TV during Soviet Russia, and this dude is like singing, and he's like a pop idol, but he sings in trololos.
Yeah, trololololololo, trololo.
And it's just very, it's very surreal. It's like you're getting a little portal into a different realm of existence.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the movies that came out. So 2010 was kind of an iconic year for movies. Inception came out that year.
Okay.
So it changed the way all movie trailers sounded with a boom. The boom.
Yeah, that is, I think, probably its most significant contribution to film.
Winter's Bone came out, so we got J-Law. And Easy A came out, which kind of was, I mean, Emma Stone had been in other movies, but that's kind of her big breakthrough. Catfish, which ended up being a pretty... like iconic word and like thing that happens. That movie came out that year. Animal Kingdom is great. Yeah.
Wow.
If you've seen Animal Kingdom, that's an Australian movie with like Joel Edgerton and the bad guy from Bloodline, whose name I'm drawing a blank on, but a couple really iconic actors came from that. The Fighter, Scott Pilgrim, Despicable Me, we got the Minions year. The Town,
The Town came out that
year?
Yeah,
damn, The Town,
that shit feels...
The Social
That's
Network.
Weird. The Town doesn't feel that old to me, as old as 2010. I feel like I saw that shit in 2013, but I don't know.
The Social Network came out that year, Toy Story 3, Black Swan. So just a lot
the
of...
King's Speech,
yeah. The King's Speech won the Academy Award that year. I feel like if we were looking back, I would probably go Social Network, since that was like kind of an iconic...
I'll go for... Well, the score with... Trent Reznor and Atticus was
phenomenal.
Oh,
I thought you meant a movie called The Score starring Trent Reznor.
No. Could you imagine The Score starring Trent Reznor? But yeah, I remember. Man, I was in love with that score. And then look at him now.
So fucking good.
The two of them now doing Watchmen.
Yeah.
How far they've
Watchmen
come.
Watchmen is so good. Inception would definitely be nominated if we were looking back, giving the award.
For what?
For Best Picture.
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like it's pretty.
It has so many plot holes and shit in it you can pick apart, but like in terms of the sheer imagination that it offered the like as a viewing experience,
just like influential.
I'm here.
I would give it to Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Exit Through the Gift Shop, pretty great. That came out that year.
That really woke people up.
Documentary in quotes.
Yeah, thanks, and Mr. Brainwash.
Yeah.
Because he was part of that. Wasn't that part of the thing with showing Mr. Brainwash? And they're even like, is Mr. Brainwash a plant that Banksy created?
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. All of that was so fucking weird.
This is so cool.
Yeah.
That guy's business, too. I remember watching that documentary being so incensed when he's like, I sell vintage t-shirt.
Yeah.
Wasn't he French or something?
He was from somewhere. But he was also, his whole thing was that he would like rip off art.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay.
I mean, and then also he's had like team of graphic designers where he just conceptualized things and then like, now make that like, but make it lit.
That's why it felt so like, it was almost like a critique on the whole concept of,
But I think
I'm about to start making my own exit to the gift shop.
Hey, I think 2010 in general is like, you look back at it and like the first of the Harry Potter part sevens came out that year. But for the most part, it's like most of the iconic stuff that came out was not sequels, was not like, genre superhero movies. And then 2011, we can go right into the movies of 2011.
Uh-huh.
First of all, when you Google like movies of 2010, the first one is Inception. When you Google movies of 2011, the first one on the list is Midnight in Paris, that Woody Allen movie.
What?
With, isn't that weird?
Is that just bait? Well, I can't imagine. I don't know how they weight that. But
I have no idea. But Drive is from that year.
Okay. Great film.
Tree of Life, Hugo.
Don't remember Tree of Life.
Tree of Life is...
Yeah. Oh, is that Brad Pitt one?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a little pretentious.
And Moneyball.
Moneyball was good, though. Moneyball taught me math.
Yeah, I thought Moneyball was very good.
That was, I remember a story, an anecdote. My mom had interviewed Jonah Hill because he was in that movie, and she asked a question about him being like, oh, what's it like being a comedic actor? You're a comedian, but now you're doing these dramatic roles. And his answer, I think he was saying this to a lot of people during this press tour, he's like, I'm not a comedian.
Ugh.
And I never was.
Right.
It's like, okay.
It's just how you interpret it.
I just knew Dustin Hoffman's daughter, and that's how I got an I Heart Huckabees. Okay?
That's true, actually.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
He was like the funniest kid in school.
Yeah, he was just a funny dude from Crossroads.
He's got to be in this movie. But he's actually, you know, he's a funny dude.
Yeah, he's a funny dude.
He's come a long way.
He's come a long way. He really dresses like now like he's like a fucking artiste.
Yeah.
Slash streetwear bae.
Mm-hmm. Streetwear bae, Jonah Hill.
The artist.
The artist is... Miles, you put it well earlier when I mentioned that was the movie that won the Academy Award.
Yeah.
Like,
that
maybe the most forgettable Best Picture winner. And you're saying
I was
that's
like, wasn't,
peak
yeah.
2010 falling for dumb gimmicky shit like this?
Because it's just because everyone's like, it's in black and white
and
it's
silent.
And I was like, what?
I will say, though, you can see Uggy, the dog who starred in The Artist on World's Greatest Dogs on Disney+.
Hey.
You will say that. You've always said that.
Wait, in World's Greatest Dogs, they're like, and remember Uggy from Academy Award winning The Artist?
But the reason they even they say he's retired from acting, but they say the reason they even bring him up is because he's roommates with Jumpy, who's currently one of the World's Greatest Dogs.
Jumpy?
Wait, Uggy and Jumpy?
Yeah, and they have a Pomeranian who named Fluffy as well.
Who's Jumpy?
Jumpy is a dog that's like one of those like he's an
agile performer.
Yeah,
dogs.
Like he can jump off anything and everything. He can jump over anything. He's just like wild.
They're like, wow, how high can he jump? He's
they have him. Disabled. They have him climb up onto the roof of the house and jump off the roof into the owner's arms. It's unnecessary, but let's just say he's roommates with Uggy, who starred in The Artist.
The Descendants came out that
year,
giving us
Shailene Woodley,
Shia LaBeouf, and Super 8 came out that year, and like is when you look back, people are like putting it on all these lists, but that's pretty forgettable.
That was a J.J. Abrams flick.
Yeah, that was J.J. Abrams. Yeah. I think it was like when people thought J.J. Abrams was going to be like the next Spielberg, so they were like...
Because this is right after Lost ended.
Right.
So they're like, oh, what's he going to do? He'll epically disappoint us yet again.
But like Bridesmaids came out that year,
yeah.
which is super, super iconic and was not nominated for anything, I don't think, except Melissa McCarthy was nominated. The Help came out that year. Totally holds up.
Horrible Bosses. The Hangover 2. Wow. Talk about something. Yeah, this was really when they're like, all right, can we
this
dust it off?
This is when it fell
up
because like even the good movies that were like super successful and were pretty good, like there were a lot of sequels like Mission Impossible 4, which was like a really good sequel that kind of took that series to the next level. Fast 5, that was when like the Fast and Furious franchise went from like B-movie to like mainstream
to
blockbuster.
Heist films.
Yeah, and like that movie's really good, but it's like a lot of the energy from this year of movies, like a lot of the iconic shit, is like going in the direction of like Captain America, First Avenger. Like, so it gave us that. It gave us Thor. So it was like,
cook.
Yeah, it was just like everything started becoming not everything, but like the real, you know, memorable shit that was like taking over the box office was genre shit and
like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Also Attack the Block,
which
great movie.
Right, yeah, so we got John Boyega with Attack the Block, and this began the McConaissance a little bit. It was like a soft launch of the McConaissance because The Lincoln Lawyer came out that year, and like this was the first movie that wasn't Matthew McConaughey.
Didn't even see that one.
That wasn't him, like, in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days or whatever.
Oh, right.
Oh, was like, this the beginning of him being like, I am a good actor?
I can act.
McConaughey.
Oh, so this is what led to all those Lincoln ads.
Yeah, that's basically
long
true.
Play.
Yeah.
Damn, you spot it.
It's actually like that. So
okay, APOC, look through the Matrix real quick.
Those Lincoln ads actually take place in the same universe as the Lincoln Lawyer.
No, that
a
makes
lot
sense.
Of people don't
yeah.
know that.
That makes sense.
The Raid Redemption, which like created a type of
what
movie,
is that?
Basically. So it was like this dude who
Wild Stunts.
Yeah, who did who direct? It was a stunt coordinator directed a movie. It's a Thai movie, I think.
Oh,
but
it's like those Jason Statham films?
Yeah, it's basically like that. It's sort of what ended up leading to John Wick. Like John
Got
Wick
it.
Was the American incorporation
right.
of that whole aesthetic.
Yeah, what if we get the stunt guys
to just direct,
to direct
the movie
something
and
once.
It's just like nonstop fucking awesome action. Music that year was Watch the Throne. Bon Iver, and I'll talk. Drake finally released a full album,
actual album, not just mixtape,
not just mixtapes. Take Care, House of Balloons from Weekend. This is actually a super iconic.
That's
year
the
for
best
music.
One for me.
Greatest album.
Nostalgia Ultra was like Frank Ocean's soft launch. Mm-hmm. That was good
his
as fuck.
Was that his mixtape?
Yeah, that was his mixtape. Yeah. Adele 21, Oof. Beyonce 4. Wow. Yeah,
James Brown, James Blake.
Video games.
Yeah, Video Games by Lana Del Rey. She appeared on the scene.
This
yeah.
was a big crying year for me with
yeah.
the music. Like
I think
House
it was
of
crying
Balloons,
for everyone.
Nostalgia
yeah.
Oh,
Ultra,
I cried in
Adele,
a different way to House of Balloons.
James Blake.
House of Balloons was America's national drug come down.
But you know, not many people knew about it. It came out, but you really had to be into the music to
right.
have known that some dude who was not on a major label was like in Canada releasing music, and you're like, you heard the Weeknd?
I spent a lot of time drunk listening to that album and the next two follow up.
I would scroll through Facebook and check on people who I was seeing if their relationship status changed.
Stir
and
of Echoes.
When it went to in a relationship, I would throw House of Balloons on, and a single tear would go down my face.
What?
Yeah,
it's a good yeah.
Wait,
the
so,
on drugs by yourself after everyone else is a bit in bed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the soundtrack.
I do think Nostalgia Ultra was. That coming out during Frank Ocean basically creating a genre of music, like opening up a world of like this kind of like
avant-garde R&B.
Like, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Where the lyrics were just kind of like very idiosyncratic. Like everything was so weird and it was this whole world. I remember listening to that in college and being like, oh my God, you can just like be weird now. Like nothing matters.
Yeah. Right. Nostalgia Ultra and House of Balloons, I feel like coming out like two mixtapes that like defined that aesthetic of like sort of. Yeah, I mean, like, that wasn't a thing really before that, that, like, the most, like, critically lauded and, like, kind of challenging albums were coming from R&B artists. Like, that was, yeah, gave us Frank Ocean. That's fucking huge. James Blake dropped James Blake, and
Love
we're
going
to get into the stories of that year after this quick break.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast. to live and die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
And we're back, and Bin Laden was back in the news in 2011.
What'd he do?
Got.
Uh-oh.
By Obama.
Got.
This actually, I remember, this was my first, like, when Twitter became, like, part of how I synthesized things.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was, like, when, because The Rock broke the story, and so I would, like.
The Rock broke the story.
He was,
what,
like,
do you mean?
Just talked to one of my special forces friends, and I'm just so proud of our nation right now, that's all I can say. And it was, he wrote that, like, an hour before Obama then called the press conference, and everyone was like, yo, what the fuck is happening? So The Rock didn't break the story. He just knew about it and, like, made it clear that everybody was like, yo, was something big is happening.
It was a soft break.
And that's one of the reasons that, like, everybody was paying attention. This was, so Obama goes up and tells the country that he killed Bin Laden. The day after the White House press dinner where him and Seth Meyers shit on Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Thus launching us into our current timeline.
Yeah.
Because Trump was humiliated and was like, I will
end you. I will use Russia
to
defeat you.
Also, Gaddafi, bad year for him. There was a war in Libya. He was overthrown and beaten to death in the street.
Which is, like, you know, shout out to his beautiful outfits.
I know.
You guys remember those?
Those
the world got a little less cruel and a little less fashionable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have any, like, American politicians who have ever been as fashionable as certain Middle East regime leaders? No. Jesus.
Fashion? No, everyone's super.
I mean, like,
lame.
Everyone's basic.
Obama was, like, kind of fashionable, but not like that.
I guess.
No presence.
Yeah.
You
mean,
really,
like, next level fashionable?
Because,
like,
Gaddafi
kind
had
of
a look.
Wearing some challenging stuff. That was like, yo, he is taking risks.
They're like, yo, people talk about Lizzo's t-shirt with the ass cut out. Obama was wearing that before. People don't realize.
He just turns around in, like, a tailored suit and his ass is cut out.
Did you? Man, fuck. In this timeline, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Trump, the way, you know, how terrible his shit looks, I think is a choice.
Right.
Oh, okay.
You know, his taped tie.
This was, like, when, I don't know, for some reason, maybe it's because, like, Trump started infiltrating the news, or maybe it was Twitter, but this, like, started feeling like the news was ramping up and becoming,
that
I don't 24 know, faster and more horrifying and more, like, spectacular. Like, there was.
Man, it's so funny because this year I got out of politics. And I completely disengaged this year.
So I'm telling you.
I had been.
You're like, Bin
I'm
Laden
like, Bin
said?
Laden died?
Whoa.
Hold the phone, y'all. You got to tell me this stuff. No, I mean, like, in that sense, it's weird. Like you said, you were on Twitter more. I completely stopped looking at Twitter. I only looked at news, like, very selfishly if I, like, had to.
Yeah.
So it's interesting now that, like, I don't even have that conception of, like, the news speeding up at that point.
Yeah. I mean, it was, like, the first time that I started writing about the news at Cracked. Like, prior to that, it was all just, you know, like, history articles or, like, pop culture shit. And then this was, like, when I was, like, things, like, people, just the zeitgeist shifted where the focus was more, like, on the news in
right.
general.
Yeah.
So There was the tsunami in Japan, March 11th.
Yeah.
There was an earthquake that then led to the tsunami. The earthquake was like an 8-point something on the Richter scale. It was like, basically, they had all these protections in place, but it was like up to a high sevens earthquake. And each decimal point that you raise an earthquake is like 10 orders of magnitude stronger.
Right.
But you're saying that you had been in Japan.
I was in Japan was right like, before that. I was trying to live in Japan. Whole journey was like, I leave America and I leave politics.
You
and
spit
I will,
on the ground.
I'll go back to my home in Japan. And I was there for a minute and like I found work and I was able to like kind of support myself. And then I don't know, part of me always wanted, I knew I wanted to do comedy. That was one of the reasons why I left politics. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to do that here. Like I can live out here and I can make a life, but it's not going to be a life.
Right.
Because prior to this, 2010, woo boy, I was just drinking Jack Daniels to go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, and because I just hated like the sort of trajectory of my career. And yeah, I was about to be there and then something pulled me back right before. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, the tsunami happened.
Yeah.
And there was an earthquake right before I left too. It was trippy. But yeah, man, that's such a big tragedy. And like the amount of the loss of life and just seeing sort of the kinds of people who emerged like to support their communities or try and find loved ones and things, a lot of heartbreak.
Oh my God, man.
Yeah.
There's this American Life story where they're like one of those towns that just got decimated by the earthquake. Like they have all these different like mourning things. And one of them is a telephone booth where you like go into the telephone booth and talk to your deceased relatives.
Yeah.
That fucking had me weeping. Dissent and repression in Syria was one of the stories of 2011, according to this ABC News kind of run back that I was looking at. I mean, this was that came to define the decade, really, was, you know, this
is
when things started going to hell.
And climate change, too.
Yeah.
Who would have thought the droughts that were really destabilizing everything?
Yeah. Will and Kate got hitched again, defined the decade. Those are
two people. I remember people waking up.
I did not remember that, but I did wake up for Harry.
You did?
I've always been a Harry. No.
You had a child.
I had a child.
You were hiding a child.
Yeah, you are hiding a child. It does feel like that was kind of the beginning of maybe the younger generation's obsession with the royals. Like you're seeing this young couple get together and we all, I mean, my generation grew up being like, Will, before I guess he
I know. I remember
older,
my college
like,
girlfriend was obsessed
People loved Will.
And I feel like this was like a pivotal moment for us being like, wow, and he's found his princess.
But remember, Pippa was the one who got all the shine.
Yeah,
like, yo, look at her butt.
Yeah.
I remember everybody was like, yeah.
Yeah,
it was
true.
Wild. It was like the headline.
It was pretty. It was something to behold.
It was Pippa Middleton. And I mean, sure, she looked fine and dandy, but it was so amazing that somehow the word Pippa itself became like overshadowed her sister marrying because they're like, man, tell you something, Pippa though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For some reason, like, all news from this period just reminds me of, like, Jake Tapper and, like, those ABC News, like, anchors who, like, got Me Too'd. Like, it's just, like,
right.
I just picture everything being filtered through them, being like, and Pippa!
I'm curious to, listen to news clips from then and how, like, the language has shifted where now you wouldn't hear maybe male anchors being like, and she's certainly turned some heads.
Exactly.
That ass.
Right.
Like that's how like and now you would like that the amount had like how language has changed or how people are being like, yeah, let's not just completely objectify women in the news broadcast.
Right.
That's what they have the man show for.
Right. The man show was one of the big stories of the News Corp hacking scandal where they basically had to dissolve one of the oldest newspapers in the history of the Western world, News of the World, which had been running for 168 years because they got caught hacking celebrities' phones.
Isn't that Piers Morgan?
Yeah.
Wasn't he caught up in that?
He was
that
caught up in that.
Fucking turd.
But yeah, it was Rupert Murdoch and his son James who deserve a fuck you.
I'm not shocked by that anymore. Now, like, we're in such an era, I'm like, okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it's like that
Makes sense.
Yeah, you got to hack.
When like all those
story.
Like yeah. nudes of celebrities were hacked,
right?
Like mm-hmm. that was like if that was Rupert Murdoch doing that, essentially, is like a it's wild.
Oh wow,
yeah.
The fappening was a design by Rupert Murdoch. I would right. also believe that too.
Yeah, I would actually. Fappening. I'm not saying that that's even a theory. I'm just saying like that's what this equivalent was.
Terrible Reddit name was for that event.
Yeah, but like I heard somebody like I think it was on. Our sister podcast Night Call calling it the fappening. Like uh-huh. I think that's the term for it.
Well, yeah, people colloquially referred that because that was the internet first. Like Reddit had complete like started like cataloging and archiving it. Had a subreddit.
History's gonna be so fucking stupid. Like history books of this time period.
How do you talk about any of this?
Right. The fappening.
And
Jesus
then the
Christ.
Snapchat was sent.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah, but they would know if you screenshotted an image.
And then you have to be like one and then go to footnotes. Snapchat, an app used
yeah.
by millennials and Gen Z.
The thing that we replaced TV with.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There was that Norway shooting rampage, killed 77 people.
Oh, man, yeah.
one of the stories that just... Put,
hilarious.
Yeah. Deal. No, no. The next story I'm laughing at, not that one. Deal resolves national debt crisis. I'm just going to read their summary of this. President Obama met with Speaker of the House John Boehner and Harry Reid and other congressional leaders to negotiate a deal to avoid the nation defaulting on its debt. Like that was, yeah those were the things.
It's so weird to like think of how up, like think about the Tea Party, right? They were all mad because of the bailouts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going, they were using this tack of being like, what about the spending is out of control.
Right. Yeah.
Now could give a fuck about it. It's runaway spending. The deficit is exploding.
The right. Like yeah. the people, like the, yeah, Trump is spending way more money than Obama. They're like way less accountable to any sort of budget. And Paul Ryan's fucking gone. Like, nobody gives a shit about any of that stuff. But, like, that was all they talked about during Obama's
And Paul Ryan, he didn't even get to completely get rid of Social Security like he wanted to.
I feel bad for him.
You hate to see
Poor
it.
Guy. I mean, his dreams
yeah,
when he was at that keg party.
Good thing he's super buff now.
I know.
Whatever.
And wearing a backwards hat.
Like, yeah. Whatever.
Yo, if you're of a certain age, you cannot work out with a backwards hat.
Yeah.
It just looks
freaky. But what about
freaky.
All the conservative housewives who are just jilling off at home?
Jilling off. I've never heard that. That's good.
Yeah, it's for the conservative housewives.
Yeah.
I jill off. It sounds better.
And I feel like that's going to be the picture for him in the history books.
Yeah.
Next to the story of the fat.
Curling?
The yeah,
one of
him
like,
curling with
yeah.
the backwards hat. Ugh. And Occupy Wall Street started in New York in 2011. The mainstream media tree. This is a bunch of like stinky hippies hanging out and pooping in public restrooms and on the street.
That's
so
really how they.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad
up.
To see that change, though, the perception, right? Before yeah. they're like, what are y'all talking about, man?
Right.
The 99%.
Right. I mean, yeah. there. So on the right, you had the Tea Party, which was actually like the Koch brothers just being like, don't take our money through taxes. But they, the way they appealed to like a populist movement was by talking about the bailouts. The on the left, there was like the more organic Occupy Wall Street, like mm-hmm. a populist movement. But like, it was just totally ignored. Like both, like that was totally ignored. And then the Tea Party, I guess they made a big deal of because everybody looked like them.
Yeah.
Wow.
What a great country.
It's so, man, this whole look back on the decade is just going to be so, such a mind fuck.
Yeah.
Wait, why'd you just delete that one?
I just realized we don't want to end on this, but it is, we're recording this on the same day that I randomly brought this up in the Daily Zeitgeist. Right. So by way of explanation, this is also the year that Jerry Sandusky was indicted.
That was a shakeup, man.
That was fucked up.
Yeah.
And it was also like the first time that I read a deep dive on like a sexual predator and was like, oh, like I feel
beginning.
Like I learned mm-hmm. something about, yeah, this was kind of the first like wild story of like a sexual predator that was just like serially abusing people and
right.
everyone was just looking the other way.
Yeah, that the cover up was the most daunting
right.
thing of like watching like, what was the
Joe Paterno?
Paterno like being kind of like just being like, well, shit. Like, it was so bad.
Well, because he was like the face of Penn State football, right, and he couldn't have something happen to it. I mean, that's like the thing when you really see what, like, how it just destroyed Joe Paterno, too. You're like, this whole thing was a wild ride. But yeah, like what you're saying, though, too, is like it sort of took this sort of child sexual predator and took it, like, sort of. It made it less obscure. Like, people were just sort of like, yeah, these people molest kids. And really sort of like through this, all this information about like the pathology of it and things became more discussed.
The Gladwell article on that, I think, is one of the best things he ever did. Cause he just like really breaks down like how all of like a predator's entire existence, like think about it like an animal predator, like their, all of their skills, all of their existence is built on like picking off the weak to prey on them. And so like, a sexual predator, like they just have all of these defense mechanisms and like social skills, and like they build their career to like put themselves in positions to like do all this shit. Like that's, that put like the Weinstein thing in perspective for me. That put Cosby in perspective for me. Speaking of Cosby, this was after like the first lawsuits came out about him. And I was looking through Time Magazine's top 10 tweets of 2010. Bill Cosby, and the tweet was, emotional friends have called about this misinformation. To the people behind the foolishness, I'm not sure you see how upsetting this is. And it, and they had that because somebody had tweeted that he was dead. And he was like, I'm not dead. So that's what we were. We were all kind of looking the other way when it came to Bill Cosby.
The one thing I do want to say, just to end on a slightly less terrifying note, one of the top words that year, planking.
Yeah, boys.
Oh, and to end on an even better top note, this is a status update of mine from 2011. You're a sure thing because Miguel's Sure Thing came out that year, and that was my jam.
Wait, so you Miguel were just the R&B referencing?
Yeah. So my status was, you're a sure thing, because I spent that whole year choreographing dances in my mirror to that song. Great song. Damn. Miguel, dude. Epic, epic career, bro.
Skywalker.
Yeah, that's not.
I have a status update.
I just
from
love that song.
No, it's a great song. It's a great song.
From 2011, that says just Tori Amos, all caps.
And that's the year Tori Amos blew up.
And then I have another one.
Artist of the year, Tori Amos, 2011.
A weird version of me looking back. It says, if you're turning 20 today, you are as old as Magic Johnson's HIV.
That's wonderfully dark, and so you.
Yeah.
Also, that's
because it was the day he, it was like the 20th anniversary.
I still
when
remember
he announced
that.
That
was like my JFK.
I was shattered.
I was too.
Miles, I think you'll appreciate this. That's the year I discovered Geordie Shore.
Oh,
the
shit.
British version of Jersey Shore, which is 100 times more trashy than you could imagine.
Also,
like Pauly Shore.
October 25th, 2011, a status update from Facebook from Miles. Everyone's so white and happy.
Oh, yeah. That's foreshadowing the rest of your life.
I'm out here.
Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for our roundup of 2010-2011.
What a season.
Check back tomorrow, probably, for 2012-2013, where things get really out of hand. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.